and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Deep Trouble by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. It's a week late. I had three fucking migraines in the interim, so I'm getting acupuncture on Wednesday, and I'm going to the neurologist starting all that shit on the day after 420, dog! And then my girlfriend had a cold. I was all over the place. Anyway, and then I had a big moment where I was like, I want to quit podcasting altogether, because a good buddy of mine that I used to do a show with was all upset about me talking shit about the show I used to do, which I used to do on every episode of the show I used to do. But I was like, oh, I put out, 10 hours of content, then every 10 hours or so, someone sends me a shitty message. And I was like, come to think of it, the only messages I get are, for the most part, something shitty, like, you said this one thing, and that pissed me off. Which is like, well, I'm sure I pissed off thousands of other people in the meantime. And then the other one is, dude, why is it late? Why don't you do it quicker? And I'm like, what? Why don't you give me a message where it's like, hey, here's some money. Or, hey, I appreciate what you do. But no, just all negative bullshit. And I was like, why am I doing this? It doesn't make me money. It stresses me out. No one even appreciates shit. And then I was like, you know what? After I talked to Gio for a while, I was like, we do it because it's what we do. Which is a terrible reason, but it's what we do, and we'll continue to do it, even though the cons outweigh the pros infinitely. Quick little plug deal is the Alzado Co. AlzadoCo.com. AlzadoCo.com is done, the art stuff done by Kyle, who did the new Dune Reads Goosebumps logo, the one with my face all drawn, and, you know, Franklin and Scarlet and Booze and Gnomes and Slappy and everything else. And, yeah, check out his stuff. He has stuff for sale, he does custom work, and he's awesome. And I appreciate him doing shit for me, just being like, hey, can I draw you? And me being like, fuck yeah, draw me like one of your French girls, asshole. And then him doing it, and then me feeling bad for calling him an asshole. On that note, Chapter 14 of Deep Trouble by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Motherfucking Goosebumps. Bobbing in the water, I forgot my burning pain as I gaped at her like Goatsy's anus. To my amazement, the mermaid looked just as the zoo people had said she would. Her head and shoulders were smaller than mine, but her flashing green tail stretched out long and powerful, and her huge-ass jugs were just floating around in the water looking cool and stuff. Her wide, sea-green eyes sparkled. Her skin gave off a pale, pink glow. I stared at her, wondering if she had a vagina or a cloaca. Is that how you pronounce that? I need Todd Perry and his obsession with whales and whatnot. I stared at her, unable to speak. She's real, I thought, and she fine. At last, I found my voice. You saved me, I stammered. You saved my life. Thank you. She shyly lowered her eyes and cooed at me through shell pink lips. What was she trying to say? What can I do in return? I asked her. I'll do anything I can, but, you know, judging from the last half of the book, I am quite a bitch, so I might not be helpful at all. By the way, can you open this jar? She smiled and uttered that haunting low hum. She was trying to talk to me. I wished I could understand her. She reached for my hand and examined it, frowning over the red burns from the fire coral. Her hand felt cool. She passed it over the palm of my hand, and the pain from the burns began to fade away. Maybe it's because all the blood was rushing to my bathing suit area. Wow! I exclaimed. I must have sounded pretty stupid, but I didn't know what else to say. Her touch was like magic. When she held my hand, I could float without treading water, just as she did. Was this another dream? I closed my eyes and opened them again. I was still floating in the sea, staring at a blonde-haired mermaid. No, not a dream. She smiled again and shook her head, making those low, singing sounds. I could hardly believe that only a few minutes before I'd been frantically fighting off a hungry-ass shark and shit. I raised my head and searched the waters. The shark had vanished. Ooh, that's scary. Sharks that can turn invisible. The ultimate hunter. The water had calmed, shimmering like gold now. Almost like it should be in Trinidad Chain's mouth. Chains, I say? Trinidad Chains? Did I mix rappers together? Shimmering like gold now under the morning sunlight. And there I was, floating in the sea, off a deserted island with a real mermaid. Ah, I wish I was there with a fucking Margaritaville blender and shit. Sheena will never believe this shit, I thought. Not in a million years. Suddenly, the mermaid flipped her tail and disappeared under the water. Startled, I searched around for her. She had left without a trace. Not a ripple, not a bubble. Where the fuck did she go? I wondered. Is she gone? Just like that? Will I never see her again? I rubbed my eyes and looked for her again. No sign of her. A few fish darted past me. She had disappeared so instantly, I began to think I had dreamed her up after all. Just then, I felt a tiny pinch on my foot. Ouch! I yelled, pulling him away quickly. I began to panic. The shark was back. Then, behind me, I heard a small splash and a whistle-like giggle. That was my whistle giggle. I turned around. The mermaid smiled mischievously at me. She snapped her fingers in a pinching motion. It was you! I cried, laughing with relief. You're worse than my little sister, and only half as hot. She whistled again and slapped her tail against the surface of the water. Suddenly, a dark shadow fell across her face. I raised my eyes to see what it was. Too late. A heavy net. Not a gnat. You know, a gnat's like a little fly. A net's like a thing you catch mermaids with. Dropped over us. Suddenly, I thrashed my arms and legs, but that only tangled them more in the rope. The net tightened over both of us. We were thrown together. And I slipped it in her kawika. We struggled helplessly as the net jerked us up. The mermaid's eyes widened and she squealed in terror. She cried. We were being pulled up out of the water. The mermaid's frightened wail rose like a siren, drowning out my feeble cries for help. I'm drinking a Tecate tall can that's almost empty, so probably the next chapter I might have something else. What an exciting day. Chapter number 15. Billy, I don't believe it. I gazed up through the holes in the net and reckoned, Billy, I don't believe it. I gazed up through the holes in the net and recognized Dr. D and Sheena. They struggled to pull us aboard the dinghy. Sheena stared down at me, and the mermaid in amazement. Dr. D's eyes were wide, and his mouth hung open. You found her, Billy, he said. You've actually found the miggity-iggity mermaid. Just get me out of this net. I cried. Somehow, I didn't feel so great about capturing the mermaid anymore. The zoo people were right, Dr. D muttered to himself. It is unbelievable. It's astounding. It's motherfucking historic. We landed in a heap on the floor of the dinghy. Today I learned that the word dinghy has an H in it. The mermaid squirmed beside me in the net, making sharp, angry clicking noises. Probably like a dolphin, you know, like, I can't do it. Franklin, can you make a dolphin sound? No? All right, worth a try. Man, I really wish I didn't look at Franklin. I lost my place. Dr. D watched her closely. He touched her tail. The mermaid flapped it hard against the bottom of the boat. Is there any way this could be a hoax? He wondered aloud, unable to pronounce the word hoax. Billy, is this one of your dumb tricks? Sheena demanded, suspiciously. It's not a trick, I said. Now, will you get me out of this net? The ropes are digging into my skin. I look like a Cenobite. They ignored me. Sheena gently reached one finger through the net and touched the scales in the mermaid's tail. "I can't believe it," she murmured. "She's really real." "Of course she's real," I cried. "We're both real, and we're both very uncomfortable." "Well, it's hard to believe anything you say," Sheena snapped. "After all, you've been talking about sea monsters ever since we got here." "I did see a sea monster," I cried, then winked and pointed at my bathing suit. "Get it? Like my dick is like a sea monster. It's like a leviathan. It's 14 leviathinches." "No? All right, fine." "Quiet, kids," Dr. D said. "Let's get our discovery back to the sea lab." He started the dinghy's motor, and we roared back to the big boat. Alex stood on deck, waiting for us. "Is it really true?" he cried excitedly. "It's really a mermaid?" Sheena tried the dinghy, and tied it as well, to the side of the Cassandra, where Dr. D and Alex hoisted me and the mermaid abroad. Dr. D opened the net and helped me out. The mermaid flopped her tail and got herself even more tangled in the net. "What an idiot!" "Stupid jerk." Alexander shook my head. "I'm proud of you, Billy. How'd you do this shit?" "This is amazing." He gave me a vigorous pat on the back. "Do you realize this is the greatest ocean find of the century? Maybe of all time." "Thanks," I said, "but I didn't do shit. I didn't find her. She found me." The mermaid flopped violently on the deck. Her squeals became higher pitched, more frantic. That was my impression. Alexander's face fell. "We've got to do something for her," he said urgently. "Dr. D, you've got to let her go," I said. "She needs to be in the water." "I'll fill the big tank with seawater, Dr. D," said Alexander. He hurried off to fill the tank. "We can't just let her go, Billy," said Dr. D. "Not without examining her first." He winked at me. His eyes were shining with excitement, but he saw how upset I was. "We won't hurt her, Billy. She'll be all right," he said, holding up a bottle of KY jelly. His eyes dropped to my leg, and he frowned. He kneeled down to look at it. "You're bleeding, Billy," he said. "Are you okay?" I really hope this is the same voice I was doing last time. "I'm fine," I said, "but the mermaid isn't." He ignored me. "How did this happen?" asked Dr. D. "A shark grabbed my leg," I told him. "Just as he was about to clamp down, the mermaid came. She saved the fuck out of my life. You should have seen her fighting that shark." Dr. D turned to the mermaid as if seeing her for the first time. "Wow," said Sheena. "She fought off a shark all by herself, just like in that Lucio Fulci movie, Zombie?" Yeah? Anyone see that movie? I feel like I explained this already in last episode, so I'm going to trudge on. The mermaid's long green tail pounded angrily on the deck of the boat. "Ee-ee!" she cried shrilly. She almost sounded as if she was screaming. "Forget about my leg," I shouted. "You've got to let the mermaid go." Dr. D stood up, shaking his head. "Billy, I'm a scientist. This mermaid is an extremely important discovery. If I let her go, I'd be letting down the entire scientific community. I'd be letting down the entire world." "You just want the $1 million, I muttered. I knew it was cruel, but I couldn't stop myself. I hated seeing the mermaid so unhappy. Dr. D looked hurt. "That's not figgity-iggity-fair, biggity-iggity-billy," he said. "I think you know better than that." I avoided his gaze. Lowering my head, I pretended to examine the cut on my leg. It wasn't very deep. Alexander had given me some gauze. I pressed it against the cut. Wait, how is a shark bite not very deep? Or did he not get bit by a shark? What happened? I don't remember. "I only want the money to continue my research," Dr. D went on. "I would never use this mermaid to get rich." That was true. I knew Dr. D didn't care about the money for himself. All he wanted was to keep on studying fish. Just think about it, Billy. You've found a mermaid, a creature we all thought didn't exist. We can't just let her go. We've got to find out a little bit about her, he said excitedly. I said nothing. We won't hurt her, Billy. I promise. Alexander returned. The tank's ready, Dr. D.
Thank you.
Dr. D followed him to the other side of the boat. The long singing of the word thank you was because I couldn't figure out how to say a thank you. Or actually it just says thanks, but I couldn't figure out how to do that in the Dr. D voice. Which I'm pretty sure is the voice from Pee-wee's Playhouse of like the Bebop Beatnik crew, you know, that's like a dog and a chick. And they just do jazz stuff and smoke jazz cigarettes and go on the road with Kerouac and refer to weed as tea. I glanced at Sheena to see whose side she was on. Did she want to keep up with the mermaid, or keep the mermaid, or just let her go? But Sheena just stood there watching. Her face was tense. I could tell she wasn't sure which of us was right. But when I looked at the mermaid, I knew I was right. She had finally stopped squirming and flipping her tail. Now she lay still on the deck, the net draped over her. She was breathing hard and staring out at the ocean with watery, sad eyes. I wished I'd never tried to find her in the first place. Now, all I wanted was to find some way to help her get back home. Dr. D and Alexander came back. They lifted the mermaid inside the net. Alexander lifted her tail, and Dr. D held her head, for some reason cupping her enormous breasts. Don't squirm, little mermaid, Dr. D said in a soothing voice, like always. Keep still. The mermaid seemed to understand. She didn't flop around, but her eyes rolled wildly, and she uttered low moans. Dr. D and Alexander carried her to the giant glass tank. It stood on the deck now, full of fresh seawater. They gently dropped her into the tank, pulling the net away as she slid into the water. Then they put a screen on top of the tank and clamped it shut. The mermaid churned the water with her tail, then gradually her tail stopped moving. She grew still. Her body slumped lifelessly to the bottom of the tank. She didn't move or breathe.
No!
An angry cry escaped my lips. She's dead! She's dead! We killed her! God, I'm a good actor. Chapter number 16. Sheena had moved to the other side of the tank.
Billy, look!
She called to me. I hurried around to her.
The mermaid isn't dead,
Sheena reported, clearly knowing how R.L. Stein books are laid out, pointing.
Look, she's crying or something.
She's just crying, fuck, it doesn't matter. My sister was right. The mermaid had slumped to the bottom of the tank and had buried her face in her hands.
Now what do we do?
I asked. No one answered.
We have to find a method of feeding her,
my uncle said, once again pointing to his crotch.
Knock it off, Dr. D,
rubbing his chin, his eyes on the tank.
Do you think she eats like a person or a fish?
I asked.
If only she could tell us,
said Alexander.
She can't talk, can she, Billy?
I don't think so,
I said.
She just makes sounds, whistles and clicks and hums. She's like an African.
I'll go down to the lab and get some equipment ready, said Alexander. Maybe we can find out something about her with the sonar monitor.
Good idea, said Dr. D thoughtfully.
Alex hurried below.
I think I'd better go to Santa Anita for some supplies, said Dr. D.
Santa Anita was the nearest inhabited island.
I'll buy lots of different kinds of food. We can try them out on her until we find something that she likes. Would you two like anything while I'm there?
How about some peanut butter? Sheena asked quietly. There's no way Alexander can ruin a peanut butter sandwich. Dr. D nodded as he climbed into the dinghy. Peanut butter it is. Anything else, Billy? I shook my head. All right, Dr. D said. I'll be back in a few hours. He started the motor, and the dinghy sped off towards Santa Anita.
It's so hot, Sheena complained. I'm going down to my cabin for a while, even though there's a fucking mermaid feet away from me.
Okay, I said, my eyes on the mermaid. It was hot up on deck. There was no breeze, except that breezy in the tank, you know, and the white hot noon sun beat down on my face. But I couldn't go below deck. I couldn't leave the mermaid. She floated behind the glass, her long tail drooping. When she saw me, she pressed her hands and face to the glass and cooed silently. Like you do when you visit Ray Ray down at the joint, you know? Do people still call jail or prison the joint? I waved to her through the glass. She cooed and hummed in her low voice, trying to communicate with me. I listened, trying to understand. Are you hungry? I asked her. She stared at me blankly. Are you hungry? I repeated, rubbing my stomach.
Go like this. I nodded my head up and down. For yes, do this. For no.
I shook my head back and forth, as did Dune, which didn't add anything to the podcast. I stopped and waited to see what she'd do. She nodded her head yes.
Yes, I said, you are hungry.
She shook her head no.
Scarlet!
No, you're not hungry? She nodded her head yes. Then she shook her head no again. She's just copying me, I thought. She doesn't really understand. I took a step back and studied her in the tank. She's young, I thought. She's a lot like me. That means she must be hungry
and horny.
And she probably likes to eat what I like, right? Maybe. It was worth a try. I hurried down to the galley. I pulled open a cupboard and took out a package of chocolate chip cookies. Okay, so it's not exactly seafood, I thought, but who wouldn't like a chocolate chip cookie? I grabbed a few cookies and stuffed the package back into the cupboard. Alexander came through on his way up to the deck. He was carrying some equipment in his arms.
Getting a snack?
He asked me.
For the mermaid, I told him. Do you think she'll like them?
He shrugged his broad shoulders and said, "Who gives a shit?" He followed me out on deck, carrying the equipment.
What is all that shit?
I asked him, swearing unnecessarily. My female cat, who's been spayed, obviously you know this because she no longer screams in the back of podcasts, has one little toy. Now she's playing with it and throwing it around by herself because she has a claw growing out the middle of her polydactyl foot and can throw it. But, she has one little crab toy, and she brings it with her everywhere and takes care of it like it's her own, and it's very cute. I thought we could run a few tests on the mermaid to see what we can find out about her, said Alexander, but go ahead and feed her first.
Okay, I said. Here goes.
That's what it says, just here goes. I held a cookie up to the glass. The mermaid stared at it. I could see that she didn't know what the fuck it was.
Mmm!
I said, patting my stomach.
Yummy!
The mermaid patted her tummy, imitating me. She stared out at me blankly with those sea-green eyes. Alexander reached up and unlatched the top screen. I handed him the cookie, and he dropped it into the tank. The mermaid watched it fall towards her through the water. She made no attempt to grab it. By the time it reached her, it was soggy. It fell apart in the tank.
Yuck, I said.
Even I wouldn't eat it now, because I'm so fat I'm going to get, you know, childhood onset diabetes. Now she's just going to breathe cookie water. There's someone right now that's like, oh, that sounds so good.
The mermaid pushed the soggy cookie pieces away.
Maybe Dr. D will have something she likes when he gets back, said Alexander.
I hope so, I said.
Alexander began to set up his equipment. He put a thermometer inside the tank and some long white plastic tubes.
Oh, man, Alexander mumbled, shaking his head. I forgot my notebook.
He hurried back down to the lab. I watched the mermaid float sadly in her tank. With the tubes coming out of it, she reminded me of the fish down at the lab. No, I thought. She is not a fish. She shouldn't be treated this way. She's not a black mermaid. I remembered how she had fought the shark. She could have been killed, I thought, easily. But she fought the shark anyway, just to help me. The mermaid cooed. Then I saw her wipe away the tears that had begun to run down her face. She's crying again. Wait, how does she have tears? She's underwater. I thought, feeling guilty and miserable. She's pleading with me. I put my face against the glass, as close to hers as I could get. I've got to help her, I thought. I put my finger to my lips. Shh, I whispered. Stay quiet. I have to work quickly. I knew I was about to do something that would make Dr. D very angry. My uncle would probably never forgive me, but I didn't give a shit. I was going to do what I thought was right. I was going to set the mermaid free. Liberal. Drinking a Modelo to keep up with the Mexican beer theme. That reminds me, it's chapter 17. My hand trembled as I reached up to unlatch the screen at the top of the tank. The tank was taller than I was. I wasn't quite sure how I'd get the mermaid out of there, but I had to find a way. As I struggled to pull the screen off, the mermaid began to squeal. Eee! Eee! See, the first set of E's, aside from the first E, was not capitalized, but the second set was, hence me having more emphasis on the second one. God, I'm good at reading Goosebumps. Shut up, bitch! You're blowing my cover! I warned her. Then, I felt a hand grab me by the arm. I gasped, startled. A deep voice asked, "What are you doing?" I turned around to see Alex standing behind me. I stepped away from the tank, and he let go of my arm. "Billy, what were you doing?" he asked again. "I was going to let her go," I cried. "Alexander, you can't keep her in there. Look how unhappy she is." We both stared at the mermaid, who had slumped to the bottom of the tank again. I think she knew that I had tried to help her, and that I had been stopped. I caught the sadness on Alexander's face. I could tell he felt sorry for her, but he had a job to do. He turned to me and put an arm around my shoulders. "Billy, you've got to understand how important this mermaid is to your uncle," he said. "He's worked his whole life for a discovery like this. It would break his heart if you let her go." He slowly led me away from the tank. I turned back to look at the mermaid again. "But what about her heart?" I asked. "I think it's breaking her heart to be stuck in that fish tank." Oh, look at that white knight. It's never going to get you laid, Billy. Alexander sighed. "It's not ideal, I know that, but it's only temporary. Soon, she'll have plenty of room to swim and play in." "Sure," I thought bitterly, "as an exhibit at the zoo, with millions of people gawking at her every goddamn day." Alexander removed his arm from my shoulders and rubbed his chin. "Your uncle is a very caring man, Billy, a tender lover," he said. "He'll do his best to make sure the mermaid has everything she needs, you know, except freedom. But it's his duty to study her. The things he can learn from her could help people understand the oceans better and take better care of them. That's important, right?" "I guess so," I said like a little bitch. I knew Alexander had a good point. I love Dr. D, and I didn't want to spoil his big discovery. But still, the mermaid shouldn't have to suffer for science, I thought. "Come on, Billy," Alexander said, leading me below deck. "I promised you I'd show you how the sonar probes work, didn't I? Let's go down to the lab, and I'll give you a demonstration." As we started to climb below, I took one last glance back at the mermaid. She was still slumped forlornly at the bottom of the tank. Her head was lowered, her blonde hair floating limply above it like seaweed. Yeah, I read forlornly without fucking that up. By the way, there's a drinking break where they put an extra enter between the paragraphs. Alright, regret. cutting up a lime and putting in that beer because I just chugged some lime pulp. And it was sour.
The sonar probes weren't as interesting as I thought they'd be. All they did was beep whenever the Cassandra was in danger of running ashore. I guess Alexander could tell my mind was not on the sonar probes.
Want some lunch?
He asked me. Ah, shit, lunch. I was hungry, but not for spicy chicken salad shit. I hesitated.
Well, I had a big breakfast.
I'll whip up something special, Alexander offered. We can have a picnic up on deck with the mermaid. Come on. What can I do? I followed him to the kitchen. He opened the small refrigerator and pulled out a bowl. This has been marinating all morning, he said. I looked into the bowl. It was full of thin strips of something white and rubbery looking. They floated in an oily, dark gray liquid. Whatever it was, I knew I couldn't eat it. Oh my god. It's probably mermaid meat.
How exciting.
Would you eat a mermaid? I don't mean her cloaca. I mean, like, actually consume her.
Right in it. Dune it. Dune reads goosebumps. It's marinated squid, said Alexander. I added some squid ink for extra flavor. That's what makes it gray.
Yum, I said, rolling my eyes like an ungrateful bastard. I haven't had squid ink in days.
Don't be a fucking douche. You might be surprised, Alexander replied. He handed me the bowl. Take this up on deck. I'll bring some bread and iced tea. I carried the bowl of squid up and set it down near the mermaid's tank.
How are you doing, mermaid?
I asked her. She flipped her tail a little. Then she opened and closed her mouth, as if she was chewing.
Hey, I said, you are hungry, aren't you?
She kept making that chewing motion. I glanced down at the bowl of squid.
Who knows, I thought.
This might be what she'd like. I stood on a rail and unlatched the top of the tank. Then I dropped in a piece of rubbery squid. The mermaid leaped toward it and caught it with her mouth. She chewed, then smiled. She liked it. I gave her some more. She ate it. I rubbed my stomach.
Do you like it?
I asked her. I nodded yes. She smiled again. Then she nodded yes.
She understood me!
That was like one of the first moments in Goosebumps where I like got excited about the story. I'm like, that's fantastic. He's really interacting with a mermaid. That, you know, that makes me feel good inside. Because I'm a crazy person.
What are you doing, Billy? Alexander asked. He had come up on deck carrying two plates and a loaf of bread.
Alexander, look! I cried.
We communicated. I dropped another piece of squid into the tank. She ate it. Then she nodded yes.
That means she likes it, I said.
Wow, murmured Alexander. He put down the plates and picked up his notebook. He scribbled some notes.
Isn't that way cool? I demanded.
I'm a scientist too, aren't I, Alexander?
He nodded, but he kept writing.
I mean, I'm the first person on Earth to communicate with a mermaid, right?
I insisted. If she stays with us long enough, you might be able to talk to her in sign language, he said.
Just think of the things we could learn.
He spoke aloud as he wrote,
likes to eat squid. What a douche.
Then he put down his pencil and said,
oh wait, that's our lunch.
Uh-oh, I thought, I hope his feelings aren't hurt.
He looked at me. He looked at the bowl. He looked at the mermaid. Then he started laughing.
At least somebody around here likes my cooking.
He exclaimed.
Drinking break.
About an hour later, Dr. D returned with the groceries and supplies. Luckily, he'd brought plenty of seafood in Santa. He bought
seafood at Santa Anita. That's a town he went to.
We fed some of it to the mermaid for supper. While she ate, Dr. D checked the readings on the meters Alexander had set up in the tank.
Interesting, Dr. D commented.
She sends out sonar signals through the water, just like whales do.
What does that mean?
Asked Sheena.
It means there are probably other mermaids like her, said Dr. D. She must be trying to contact them with underwater sounds.
Poor mermaid, I thought.
She's calling to her friends. She wants to be rescued.
Another drinking break. This chapter rules.
Mm-mm-mm. I love booze. Da-da-da-da.
My girlfriend's friend came over, and he was a really cool dude, but he's like straight edge and vegetarian. And she's like, you're just like him. And I'm like, really? Really, I'm just like him? Drunkle Stiltskin's just like guy with the three X's tattooed in his arm that aren't for fucking sweet, sweet moonshine. But he was a cool dude. But I'm like, we went somewhere and my girlfriend drove. And I'm like, why isn't he driving? He has one skill, which is being sober. I'm terrible at that. I went to my cabin after supper and stared out of the little porthole. An orange sun sank slowly into the purple horizon. A wide carpet of gold light shimmered in the rolling ocean waters. A cool breeze blew in through the porthole. I watched the sun drop into the ocean. The sky immediately darkened, as if someone turned off a lamp. The mermaid is up there all alone, I thought. She must be so frightened, a prisoner, trapped in a fish tank in the dark. The door to my cabin suddenly burst open. Sheena bounded in, panting, her eyes wide. Sheena, I scolded angrily. How many times do I tell you you have to knock first? I could have been bounding off. She ignored me. But Billy, she gasped. She escaped. The mermaid escaped. Don't you hate when people say escaped? Just like I hate when people say espresso. No? Maybe I just hate that? Whatever.
Chapter number 18.
I leaped off my bed, my heart pounding. She's not there, Sheena cried. She's not in her tank. I darted out of the cabin, up the hatch, and out on the deck. Part of me hoped she really had escaped to freedom, but part of me wished she could stay forever and make my uncle the most famous scientist in the world and me the most famous nephew of a scientist. Quick, listeners, can you think of any nephew of a scientist? No, you cannot, because it's not a real thing that's actually famous. Please let her be okay, I thought. Up on deck, my eyes adjusted to the evening darkness. Tiny lights glowed all around the edge of the boat. I squinted across the deck at the giant fish tank.
I ran so fast I nearly toppled overboard. Sheena was right behind me.
Hey, I cried out when I saw the mermaid floating listlessly in the water, her green tail shimmering faintly in the fading light. It took me a few seconds to realize that Sheena was full of shit and laughing.
Gotcha, she shouted gleefully. Gotcha again, Billy.
God, Arlstein, come on. It's not a cliffhanger if it doesn't happen and it's completely fabricated. I groaned long and loud. See how excited I was at the beginning of this chapter? I was reading quickly, but now I got my elbow on my knee and my head on my hand and I'm pulling my big poof of hair. Another one of Sheena's stupid tricks.
Good one, Sheena, I said bitterly. Very clever.
You're just mad because I fooled you again. You're so easy to trick. The mermaid raised her eyes to me. A faint smile formed on her pale lips.
Luru! Luru!
She cooed at me. She really is pretty, Sheena said. The mermaid is hoping I'll let her go now, I thought. Maybe I should. Sheena could help me, I decided. It would be easier with two of us. But would my sister cooperate? Sheena, I began. I heard footsteps behind us.
Hey, kids!
It was Dr. D.
It's almost a bedtime,
he called. Ready to go below? Once again pointing to his bathing suit.
We never go to bed this early at home, Sheena whined.
Maybe not, but I bet you don't get up so early at home either, do ya? Sheena shook her head. We all stood at the tank and watched the mermaid in silence. She gave her tail a little flick and settled back down at the bottom of the tank. It was that moment that I realized she had peed in the tank clearly numerous times since she'd been here, and possibly shit, and she sat there breathing her own shit water. Ah, we're terrible people.
Don't worry about her, Dr. D said. I'll check on her during the night to make sure she's all right.
The mermaid pressed her tiny hands against the glass wall of the tank. Her eyes pleaded with us
to set her free.
She'll feel much better when she gets to the Marina Zoo, Dr. D said.
They're building a special lagoon just for her with the reef and everything. It'll be exactly like the lagoon off Alandra. She'll be free to swim and play. She'll feel at home.
I hope so, I thought, but I didn't feel so sure. drinking break.
The Cassandra rocked gently on the waves that night, but I couldn't fall asleep. I lay on my bunk, staring at the ceiling. A pale beam of moonlight fell through the porthole and across my face. I couldn't stop thinking about the mermaid. I tried to imagine what it would feel like to be trapped in a glass tank for a whole day. It probably wouldn't be that different from being trapped in this tiny cabin, I thought, glancing around. My cabin was about as big as a closet.
Sometimes Penn leaves Teller in a tank, sitting there all day, and it seems like Teller dies, but he doesn't.
It would be terrible, I thought, fiddling with the collar of my pajama top. I pushed open the porthole to let in more air. The fish tank might not even be the worst of it, I figured. I know Dr. D cares about the mermaid. I know he'd never hurt her, but what will happen to her when the zoo people take her away? Who will look out for her? Sure, they're building a fancy fake lagoon, but it won't be the same as the real lagoon. And there will be people around, staring at her all the time, even when she's pooping. They'll probably expect her to perform tricks or something, maybe jump through hoops like a trained seal. They'll probably put her in TV commercials, like Derek Zoolander too. And TV shows and movies, she'll be a prisoner, a lonely prisoner for the rest of her life. This is all my fault. How could I let this happen? I have to do something, I decided. I can't let them take her. Just then, I thought I heard something. A low hum. I lay still and listened. At first, I thought it was the mermaid. But I quickly realized it was a motor. I heard it chugging softly from a distance. But slowly, the sound moved closer. A boat. I sat up and peered out of the porthole. A large boat pulled quietly up beside the Cassandra.
Who dat? Them zoo peoples? In the middle of the night?
No, it wasn't the same boat. This boat was much bigger. As I peered out the small porthole, I saw two dark figures quietly slip on board the Cassandra, then two more. My heart began to race. Who are these people? I wondered. What are they doing? What should I do? Should I sneak up and spy on them? What if they see me? Then I heard more strange noises. A thud, a muffled cry of pain. It came from the deck where the mermaid was trapped helplessly in her tank. Oh no, I thought, feeling a chill of panic. They're hurting the mermaid!
Chapter number 19.
I charged up to the deck. Sheena ran right behind me. Stumbling over a tow rope, I grabbed the rail to steady myself, then I darted blindly to the fish tank and sharted right in my pants tank. The mermaid huddled at the bottom of the tank, her arms wrapped protectively around herself. I saw four men standing tensely near the tank. All four were dressed in black like Dune. They had black masks pulled over their faces that were most likely black because it seems like they're stealing something. One of the men held a small club in his hand, and a body laid sprawled on the deck face down.
Dr. D!
Sheena screamed and ran to her uncle. She knelt beside him.
They hit him on the head, she cried. They knocked him out. Mama said knock him out.
I gasped. Who are you? I demanded. What are you doing on our boat? The four men ignored me. Two of them unfolded a heavy rope net and spread it over the fish tank. Then they let it fall into the tank, dropping it over the mermaid. Stop it! I yelled. What are you doing?
Be quiet, kid.
The man with the club muttered. He raised the club menacingly. I watched helplessly as they tightened the net around the mermaid. It could have just said, I watched, because after he does anything, any verb with this asshole, I just add helplessly. I grabbed helplessly at my penis. I peed helplessly somewhat near the toilet, but missed most of the way. I cleaned helplessly with the excess urine off my balls. Because I peed on my balls. That's the joke I'm making. Why am I making it? I don't know. They were kidnapping her.
Eee! Eee! Eee!
She squealed in terror and started to thrash her arms, struggling to free herself from the heavy net.
"Stop it! Leave her alone!" I cried. One of the men gave a low laugh.
The other three still ignored me. Sheena was bent over Dr. D, frantically trying to wake him up. I ran to the hatch and shouted to the cabin, "Alexander! Alexander, help!" Alexander was big and strong, maybe strong enough to stop these men. I ran back to the tank. The mermaid was trapped in the net. All four men worked to lift her out of the tank. She squirmed and fought with all her strength. "Ayee!" she screamed. The high-pitched squeal hurt my ears.
Did it hurt your ears, listeners?
"Can't you get her to shut up?" one of the men cried angrily.
"Just load her on board,"
the one with the club replied sharply.
"Stop!" I yelled. "You can't do that!"
Then I totally lost my shit. Without thinking, I dove toward the four men. I don't know what I planned to do. I just knew I had to stop them. One of them pushed me away with one hand.
"Stay away, or you'll get hurt,"
he muttered.
"Let her go! Let the mermaid go!"
I cried frantically.
"Forget about the mermaid," said the man. "You'll never see her again."
I grabbed the rail. My heart was pounding in my chest. I gasped for breath. I couldn't stand the mermaid's terrified screams. I couldn't let them take her, not without a fight. She had saved my life once. Now it was my turn to save hers. But what could I do? They had lifted the mermaid out of the tank. Three men held her in the net. She squirmed and thrashed like crazy, splashing water all over the deck. "I'll tackle them," I thought. "I'll knock them the fuck over. Then I'll push the mermaid into the ocean, and she can swim away to safety." Lowering my head like a football player, I took a deep breath and ran right at them.
Chapter number 20.
"Billy, stop!" Sheena screamed.
I crashed into one of the men holding the net, butting him hard in the stomach with my head.
That's a lot smarter than stomaching him hard in the butt with your, I guess, also head. I probably should have done that in a different order.
To my dismay, the man hardly moved. He grabbed me with his free hand, lifting me up off the deck, and heaved me into the fish tank. I splashed into the warm water and came up choking and sputtering due to all the mermaid shit and piss. Through the glass, I watched the men toss the mermaid aboard their boat.
"They're getting away!"
I screamed. I tried to scramble out of the tank, but I was too tall. The tank was too tall, I wasn't. I kept slipping down the wet glass, unable to reach the top. I knew there was only one person who could stop the masked men now. Alexander. Where was he? Hadn't he heard all the noise?
"Alexander!"
I shouted as loud as I could, but my voice was muffled by the glass walls of the tank. Then finally, he appeared on the deck. I saw his big blonde head and muscular body moving toward me at last. So erotic.
"Alexander!" I cried, scrambling to stay afloat in the tank.
"Stop them!" I could hear the motor of the other boat begin to rumble. One by one, the masked men lowered themselves off our boat. Three of them had left the Cassandra. Only one remained on deck. Through the glass, I watched Alexander run up to him and grab his shoulder. "Yes!" I thought. "Get him, Alexander! Get him!" I'd never seen Alexander hit anyone before, but I knew he could do it if he had to. But Alexander didn't hit the masked man. Instead, he asked, "Is the mermaid safely on board?" The masked man nodded.
"Good," Alexander replied.
"And if you got the money for me?"
"Got it."
"All right," Alexander murmured. "Let's get out of here."
What a fink.
Chapter 21.
I nearly choked on a mouthful of water and mermaid feces. I couldn't believe that Alexander was working with the masked men. He'd seemed like such a good guy. I mean, how can someone so hunky be so evil? But I knew now that he had arranged the whole thing. He had to be the one who had told them the mermaid was on board our boat.
"Alexander!" I cried. "How could you?"
He stared at me through the glass.
"Hey, Billy,
It's just business, he said with a shrug. The zoo was going to pay $1 million for a mermaid, but my new boss will pay 20 million. A thin smile crossed his face. You know arithmetic, Billy. Which one would you choose? You rat, I shouted. I'd make fun of him, calling him a rat, but I just called the guy a fink, so who am I to judge? I should remember who am I to judge, because dear God, I have no place to judge anyone. I wanted to punch him. I struggled to get out of the tank. All I managed to do was splash a lot and get water up my nose. Alexander followed the masked man to his boat. I pounded helplessly on the glass tank. Then I saw Sheena stand up. Lowering my gaze to the deck, I saw that Dr. D was moving. Alexander didn't seem to notice. He stepped over Dr. D's body. He didn't even care that Dr. D could have been hurt badly. I watched my uncle reach up and grab Alexander by the ankle. Whoa! Alexander tripped and fell hard onto his elbows and knees. Sheena screamed and backed up to the rail. Maybe there's still hope, I thought, my heart beating faster. Maybe they won't get away after all. Alexander sat up, dazed, rubbing one elbow. Get 'em! He shouted down to the masked men. Two of the men climbed back aboard the Cassandra and grabbed Dr. D. Sheena ran at them, flailing at them with her puny little fists. Of course, that didn't do any good. The third masked man grabbed her arms and pinned them behind her back. Kick him, Sheena! I yelled through the glass. She tried to kick the man who held her, but he just tightened his grip. She couldn't move. Let them go! I screamed desperately. Yeah. Everything he does is useless. Whatever. That wasn't even a joke. God damn. Is this the worst one ever? Lax, dude, you'll tell me, obviously, if it's bad, because that's what you do. You just tell me bad things, and I get bummed out, and I don't do anything, and then you think I'm dead, but you're all right with the fact that I'm dead.
What should we do with them? Asked one of the men.
Whatever you do, do it quickly, said Alexander. We've got to get out of here.
The man who held Sheena glanced in at me. I was frantically treading water, trying to stay above the surface. They might call the island police or the Coast Guard, he said, frowning. We'd better kill them.
Throw them all in the tank, suggested one of his partners.
Chapter number 22.
Alexander, Dr. D shouted. I know you're not a cruel man. Don't let them do this.
Alexander avoided my uncle's hard stare.
Sorry, Dr. D, he muttered. I can't stop them. If I try to, they'll kill me, too.
Without another word, he lowered himself onto the other boat.
What a creep, I thought angrily.
What a weirdo.
Two of the masked men lifted Dr. D up high and dropped him into the tank. He landed beside me with a splash.
Are you okay?
I asked him. He rubbed the back of his head and nodded. Sheena was next. They tossed her in easily. She flew through the air, flailing her arms and legs. Then she plopped into the water. The men replaced the screen lid. They clamped it shut. I stared out at them, realizing in horror that we had no way to escape. The water in the tank was about 6 feet deep. We all kicked and paddled, trying to stay above the surface. There was barely enough room for the three of us.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have put a mermaid in there in the first place if there's not enough room for three people, and two of them are fucking kids.
Yeah. I'd eat a mermaid so quick.
All right, said one of the men. Let's go.
Wait, Dr. D shouted. You can't just leave us here.
The three men exchanged glances.
You're right, we can't, said one.
They stepped toward us. So they aren't heartless monsters after all, I thought. They weren't going to leave us.
But what were they going to do?
The first man signaled the other two. They raised their hands to one side of the tank.
One, two, three, the first man called out.
On three, they pushed the tank over the side of the deck. We were thrown together. Then our bodies slammed against the side of the tank as it dropped into the ocean. Ocean water seeped into the tank.
The tank, it's like siggity-iggity sinking, said Dr. D.
We watched the kidnapper's boat as it roared away. Our tank rocked in its wake. Then it started to sink.
"We're going under," Sheena screamed. "We're going to drown."
This is exciting for a Goosebumps book.
Fuck this mermaid book, chapter number 23.
All three of us desperately pushed against the screen. I beat my fist against it. Dr. D tried to get his shoulder against it, but the tank tilted in the water, and we were all tossed back. The screen was made of heavy steel mesh and clamped on top of the tank. We couldn't reach the clamps from inside. We had to try to break through it. We pushed with all our strength. It wouldn't budge. The tank slowly sank deeper below the surface of the dark, rolling water. That water just popped a mighty sweating. Whew. The moon disappeared behind a blanket of clouds, leaving us in total darkness. We had only a minute or two before the tank dropped completely below the surface. Sheena started to cry.
Great, we need more water in here. We're gonna drown in tears.
I'm so afraid, she shrieked. I'm so afraid.
Dr. D pounded his fists against the wall of the tank, trying to break through. I ran my hands along the top of the tank looking for a weak spot in the screen. Then I hit something.
A tiny latch.
Look, I cried, pointing to the latch. I fumbled with it, trying to open it. It's stuck. Let me try. Dr. D tore at the latch with his fingers. It's jammed shut, he said. Sheena took a red beret. Beret? Barret? What's that shit you put in your hair to keep it in place? Sheena took a hard scrunchie from her hair.
Maybe we can loosen it with this, she said.
Dr. D took the fucking hard scrunchie and shit and scraped hard around the latch. It's working, he said.
Maybe there's hope, I thought. Maybe we'll get out of here.
Dr. D stopped scraping and tugged at the latch. It moved. It opened.
We're free, cried Sheena.
We all pushed at the screen. We pushed again. Come on, kids, push harder, urged Dr. D. We pushed again. The screen didn't move. The latch hadn't opened it after all. Two other latches held the screen in place. Two latches we couldn't reach. We all grew silent. The only sounds now were Sheena's soft, frightened sobs and the steady wash of the waves.
Whoosh, whoosh. Wish, wish.
That's what it would have sounded like. The water had risen nearly to the top of the tank. Soon it would come rushing in on us. Suddenly, the ocean darkened. The waters grew choppy and the tank rocked a little faster. What's that noise? Sheena asked. I listened. Through the churning water, I heard a strange sound. It was very faint, as if coming from far away. A shrill...
Franklin, what's wrong? You don't like Yodi being there? It's okay.
A shrill, high-pitched whistle like the sound Franklin's making.
It sounds like a siren, Dr. D murmured. Lots of sirens.
The eerie wails rose and fell over the water. Louder, closer. The sound as shrill as the screech of metal surrounded us. Suddenly, dark, shadowy forms swirled around the tank. We pressed our faces to the glass.
That sound. I've never heard anything like it. What can it be? Asked Dr. D.
It's coming from all around us, I stammered.
The dark water tossed, churned by the shadowy forms. I peered through the foam, straining to see. Suddenly,
out of the murky water, a face appeared.
It pressed itself against the glass right in front of my fucking face. I gasped and pulled back. Then I saw more faces. We were suddenly surrounded by small, girlish faces. Their wide eyes peered in at us menacingly.
Mermaids!
I shrieked. I already knew it was mermaids because, you know, it doesn't even matter. I obviously assumed that.
Dozens of them. Dozens of them, Dr. D murmured in hushed amazement. They churned the water with their long tails. Their hair, dark tangles in black water, floated around their faces. The tank rocked harder and harder, like Slayer.
What do they want?
Cried Sheena, her voice shrill and trembling. They look angry.
Dr. D whispered. I stared out at the mermaids, swirling around us like ghosts. They reached out their hands and began clutching at the tank. They smacked their tails on the water. The dark waters tossed and churned. Suddenly, I knew what they wanted. Revenge, I murmured. They've come for revenge. We took their friend, and now they're going to pay us back.
Ooh, it's like the mermaids in Cabin in the Woods.
God, I love that movie. Chapter number 24 of this stupid motherfucking mermaid book.
Shadowy hands pressed against the glass.
They're pulling us under, Dr. D cried. I gasped in terror, staring out at the hands, black outlines against the glass. Then, suddenly, the tank began to rise, up out of the water, higher and higher, like at the end of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and shit, you know what I'm saying? Huh? What's happening? Asked Sheena. They're pushing us back up, I cried happily.
The mermaids aren't taking revenge. They're saving us, Dr. D exclaimed.
The tank brushed up against the Cassandra. I could see the mermaids' tiny hands working above us. The clamps popped open. The screen was pulled off. With a happy groan, Dr. D boosted Sheena up. She scrambled on board the boat. Then I climbed aboard, and we both helped pull Dr. D out of the tank. Now I'm drinking a Negra Modelo. I bought the variety pack at Costco this morning. Along with cat litter and salad supplies. And that was it. Just letting you know what I got at Costco. We were drenched, shivering from the cold, but we were safe. The mermaids swarmed around the boat. Their pale eyes peered up at us. Thank you, Dr. D called down to them. Thank you for saving our lives. I realized this was the second time a mermaid had saved my life. I owed them more than ever now.
We've got to get the kidnapped mermaid back, I said. Who knows what Alexander and those creeps are going to do to her?
I made one sign into the OK symbol on my left hand, and the other hand, I put my index finger out, and then I put my index finger through the OK symbol and winked.
Yeah, cried Sheena. Look what they tried to do to us.
I wish we could rescue her, Dr. D murmured, shaking his head, but I don't see how we can.
How will we find the kidnapper's boat in the dark? They're long gone by now, Chickadee.
But I knew there had to be a way. I leaned over the railing, peering down at the mermaids floating beside us, chattering and cooing in the moonlight.
Help us! I pleaded with them. We want to find your friend. Please, can you take us to her?
I held my breath and waited. Oh, I bet they're going to find her by using the echolocation shit sonar deal she was using earlier.
Would the mermaids understand me? Would they be able to help us somehow?
Somehow? The mermaids chattered and whistled to one another. Then one of them, a dark-haired mermaid with an extra long tail, moved to the head of the group. She began whistling and clicking to the other mermaids. She seemed to be giving orders. The three of us stared in amazement as the mermaids began to form a long line, one mermaid after the other, stretching out far into the sea.
Do you think they're going to lead us to the kidnappers?
Maybe, Dr. D replied thoughtfully. But how will the mermaids find the boat? He rubbed his chin.
I know. I'll bet they'll use their sonar like Dune was just talking about. I wish I had time to really listen to the sounds they're making.
Look, Dr. D, Sheena interrupted. The mermaids are swimming away. We watched the dark figures slide away through the rolling black waters.
Quick, I cried. We've got to follow them.
Diggity-iggity-dangerous, Dr. D replied, sighing.
We can't fight Alexander and four big masked men by ourselves.
He paced back and forth on the narrow deck.
We should call the island police, he said finally. But what would we say? That we're chasing after a kidnapped mermaid? No one would believe us.
Dr. D, we have to follow them, please! I pleaded.
The mermaids are swimming out of sight.
He stared at me for a long moment. "Okay, let's get going," he said finally. I hurried to the stern. I was about to be like, is it port or starboard? Port is left, and then I realized stern is neither of those words. To untie the dinghy, Dr. D dropped it in the water and jumped in. Sheena and I followed. Dr. D started the motor and we raced after the shimmering line of mermaids. The mermaids glided so quickly through the rolling waters it was hard for the small boat to keep up with them. About 15 or 20 minutes later, we found ourselves in a small deserted cove. The moon drifted out of the clouds. It cast pale light on a dark boat anchored near the shore. Dr. D cut the motor so the kidnappers wouldn't hear us approaching.
They must be asleep. It's past 7:15 p.m.,
he whispered. How can Alexander sleep after what he just did to us, said Sheena. He left us to fucking drown. Money can make people do terrible things, Dr. D replied sadly, describing gangster rap music. But it's good that they're dead, that they think we're dead. They won't be expecting us.
But where's the mermaid?
I whispered, staring at the dark boat, bobbing gently under the misty moonlight. We drifted silently toward the darkened boat. Well, we found the kidnappers, I thought, holding on to the side of the dinghy as we drew near. There's just one problem. What do we do next?
I'm seriously spending my Saturday afternoon reading a book about a kidnapped mermaid, chapter 25.
The air became very still. The kidnapper's boat sat gently on the calm, glassy waters of the cove.
What happened to all the mermaids?
Sheena whispered. I shrugged. There was no sign of them. I imagined them swimming way down below the surface, hiding. Suddenly, at the side of the kidnapper's boat, I saw ripples in the water. It would have been much better if I saw nipples in the water. Slowly, silently, our dinghy glided toward the boat. I stared at the ripples, trying to see what was making them. Then I saw a flash of blonde hair in the moonlight.
The mermaid, I whispered. There she is.
She was floating in the water, tied to the back of the kidnapper's boat.
They must not have a
tank to keep her in, Dr. D whispered excitedly, bragging about his tank.
Lucky for us.
Suddenly, we saw other figures rippling the water. The mermaids arced up, circling the captured mermaid. I saw tail fins raised like giant fans. I saw hands reach around the mermaid, struggle. Wow, what did I just do? That was a weird sound I made. Hands tugging at the rope that held her. The waters tossed quietly as the figures worked.
The mermaids are setting her free,
I whispered.
What are we going to do?
Sheena asked. We'll just make sure she gets away safely, Dr. D replied. Then we'll slip away. The kidnappers will never know we were here until they come back to our boat and miggity-iggity murder us. We watched the mermaid struggle with the rope as our dinghy washed up against the kidnapper's boat.
Come on, mermaids,
Sheena urged under her breath.
Hurry!
Maybe they need some help, I said. Dr. D began to steer toward the mermaids. I gasped as a light flared on the kidnapper's boat. A match set flame to a torch. An angry voice boomed.
What do you think you're doing?
Congratulations on the birth of your new daughter, Acts 2, Chapter 26!
I ducked away as the flaming torch was thrust into my face. Behind the torch, I could see the kidnapper glaring down at me. He had quickly pulled on his black mask. It covered only the top of his face, like when Deadpool's eating. I heard a clamoring sound, cries of surprise. Alexander and the other three kidnappers appeared on deck.
How did you get here?
Demanded the man with the torch.
Why aren't you dead? We've come for the mermaid,
Dr. D called up to him.
You can't keep her here.
The torch swung past my head. I stood up in the dinghy and took a swipe at it. I tried to knock it into the water.
Billy, no,
cried Dr. D. The kidnapper pulled the torch away. I fell forward in the dinghy and toppled over on Sheena. I was instantly erect.
Give us back the mermaid, Dr. D demanded. Finders keepers, the apparently 9-year-old kidnapper muttered. You've made a long trip for nothing, and now look, your boat is on fire. He lowered the torch to the dinghy and set it aflame.
Chapter 27.
The flames flared up, bright orange and yellow against the black blue sky. They spread quickly across the front of the dinghy. Sheena uttered a terrified scream, yay, and tried to back away from the flames. In a panic, she started to leap into the water, but Dr. D pulled her back. Don't leave the boat, you'll drown. The fire crackled. The bright flames shot higher. Dr. D grabbed a yellow life jacket from the bottom of the dinghy and started frantically beating out the fire.
It's better than beating off the fire because you'll get blisters on your hand. Not because it's hot, because fire notoriously is herpetic.
Billy, get a life jacket, he yelled. Sheena, find a bucket. Throw water on the flames. Hurry.
I found a life jacket and beat at the flames. Sheena dumped seawater on them as fast as she could. Over the crackling flames, I heard Alexander shout, get the mermaid aboard. Let's get out of here.
Dr. D, I cried. They're getting away.
Then I heard the kidnappers yelling,
the mermaid. Where's the mermaid?
I turned to the side of the boat. The mermaid was gone. Her friends had freed her. One of the kidnappers reached down from his boat and grabbed me.
What did you do with the mermaid?
He demanded.
Let him go, shouted Dr. D.
I tried to squirm away from the kidnapper. He held me tight. Then I saw another kidnapper swing a club at Dr. D's head. Dr. D dodged the club. The kidnapper tried to hit him in the stomach. Dr. D dodged again.
Should have dodged before. I wouldn't be in this mess.
I kicked and squirmed. Sheena tugged at the kidnapper's hands, trying to help me escape. The third kidnapper picked her up by the wrists and threw her to the floor of the dinghy.
Let go of the kids, pleaded Dr. D. Alexander, help us.
Alexander didn't move from his spot on the deck. He stood with his brawny, masculine arms that were just so attractive that I wish were just wrapped around me, crossed in front of him, calmly watching the fight. The flames had nearly been quenched, but they suddenly flared up again.
Sheena, the fire! I cried. Put out the fire!
She grabbed the bucket and poured seawater everywhere. One of the kidnappers kicked the bucket.
No, he's still alive. He just kicked it from her hands. I added that pause.
It landed in the water with a spliggity-iggity splash. Sheena picked up a life jacket and beat the last of the flames out.
Drop down into their boat and toss them in the water, I heard a kidnapper shout up above.
A man started to lower himself to our dinghy, but suddenly he lurched forward, his arms flailing. He let out a cry of surprise as his boat began to rock violently to the left. It looked as if it had been slammed by a huge wave. The kidnappers cried out as their boat began to rock back and forth.
Hey guys, don't come a knocking, am I right? Because the boats are rocking like someone's fucking in it. Like they're just fucking?
Slowly at first, then violently, gripping the sides of the dinghy, I watched them clinging to the rail, screaming in confusion and surprise. Dr. D slowly stood up, trying to see what was happening. The boat tossed violently as if bucking tall waves. The mermaids, I could see them now. They had surrounded the kidnapper ship and were rocking it hard. Like fucking hard. Hard. Harder. The kidnappers hung on helplessly. Mission accomplished, Dr. D cried happily, quoting the future George W. Bush. He started up the motor and we roared off. Turning back, I could see the boat tilting and rocking in the water, and I could see our mermaid swimming free behind the other mermaids in the shimmering waves.
She got away, I cried. She's free.
I hope she'll be all right, said Sheena.
We'll look for her tomorrow, said Dr. D, as he steered us back to the sea lab.
We know where to find her now. Sheena glanced at me. I glanced back. Oh no, I thought. After all this, it can't be true.
Is Dr. D going to catch the mermaid again and give her to the zoo?
Drinking break.
Time has passed. Sheena and I met in the galley the next morning. Since Alexander was gone, we had to fix our own breakfast.
Do you think the mermaid went back to live in the lagoon?
Asked Sheena. Probably, I replied. That's where she lives and shit. She spooned some cereal into her mouth and chewed with a thoughtful look at her face.
Sheena, I said, if someone gave you $1 million, would you show them where the mermaid lives?
No, Sheena replied. Not if they wanted to capture her.
Sheena doesn't have any fucking concept of money. That doesn't make any sense. Let Sheena work a soul-crushing office job for a few years. Then we'll see if she gets into slavery like old Dune.
Me neither, I said.
That's what I don't get. Dr. D is a great guy. I just can't believe he'd... I stopped. I heard a noise. The sound of a motor.
Sheena listened. She heard it too. We dropped our spoons and ran up on deck. Dr. D was standing on the deck, staring out at sea. A boat was approaching. A white boat with the Marina Zoo stenciled, with Marina Zoo stenciled on the side in large letters.
The zoo people, I said to Sheena. They're here.
What would our uncle do? I wondered with growing dread.
I had to awkwardly hold my tongue the other night, too, because a white girl was explaining to me that she wanted to get dreadlocks. And I'm like, what? Like, there was some tweet that I read a while ago that was just, every white person with dreadlocks chooses to have them, or something like that. And it stuck with me, and I was like, really? First off, you don't smoke pot. Second off, that's a terrible look.
I wondered with growing dread. Would he tell them where the mermaid was? Would he accept $1 million? Sheena and I ducked behind the cockpit. We watched the Marina Zoo boat tie up beside the Cassandra. I recognized Mr. Showalter and Miss Wickman. Mr. Showalter tossed a rope to Dr. D. Miss Wickman jumped aboard. The zoo people smiled and shook Dr. D's hand. He nodded at them solemnly.
We had word from the fishermen on Santa Anita that you found the mermaid, Mr. Showalter said. We're ready to take her with us now.
Miss Wickman opened her briefcase and pulled out a slender envelope. Here is a check for $1 million, Dr. Deep, she said, smiling. We've made it out to you and the Cassandra Research Lab. She held out the check to my uncle. I peered out from behind the cockpit.
Please don't take it, Dr. D, I pleaded silently. Please don't take the check.
Thank you very much, my uncle said. He reached out a hand and took the check from her.
LOL money, money LOL.
Chapter 28.
$1 million means a great deal to me and my work, Dr. D said.
Your zoo has been a very jiggity-iggity generous. That's why I'm sorry. I have to do this.
He raised the envelope and tore the fuck out of that check all like, squip!
The two zoo people gasped in surprise.
I can't take the money, Dr. D said.
What are you saying, Dr. Deep?
Mr. Showalter demanded.
You sent me on a wild goose chase, my uncle replied. I have searched these waters thoroughly ever since you left. With my equipment, I searched every inch of the lagoon and all the surrounding waters. I'm now more convinced than ever before that mermaids do not exist.
Yay!
I screamed to myself all faggy. I wanted to jump up and down and cheer my head off, but I stayed hidden with Sheena behind the cockpit.
What about the fisherman's stories?
Miss Wickman protested.
I like that they showed up and are just like, yeah, he's got a mermaid. Oh, wait, no, the villagers told him.
Disregard this comment.
The local fishermen have told mermaid stories for years, Dr. D told her. I think they believe they've really seen mermaids rising through the mist on foggy days. But what they have seen are only fish, or dolphins, or miggity-iggity manatees, or even swimmers. Because mermaids don't exist, they're fantasy creatures. Miss Showalter and Mr. Showalter and Miss Wickman both sighed in disappointment.
"Are you sure about this?" Mr. Showalter asked.
"Completely sure,"
my uncle replied firmly. "My equipment is very sensitive and can pick up the tiniest minnow."
"We respect your opinion, Dr. Deep," Mr. Showalter said, with some sadness. "You're the leading expert in exotic sea creatures. That's why we came to you in the first place."
"Thank you," said Dr. D. "Then I hope you'll take my advice and drop your hunt for the mermaid."
"I guess we have to," said Miss Wickman. "Thank you for trying, Dr. Deep."
They all shook hands. Then the zoo people got back on their boat and motored away.
Motored away!
The coast was clear. Sheena and I came bursting out of our hiding place.
"Dr. D!"
cried Sheena, throwing her arms around him. "You're the greatest!" A wide grin spread over Dr. D's face.
"Thanks, guys,"
he said. "From now on, none of us say anything to anyone about the mermaid. Is that a diggity-iggity-diggity-iggity-diggity-iggity-dale?"
"It's a deal," Sheena instantly agreed.
"Deal," I said. We all shook hands. The mermaid was our secret. I swore I'd never mention the mermaid to anyone, but I wanted to see her one last time. I wanted to say goodbye. After lunch, Sheena and Dr. D went to their cabins to nap without moving the boat where the murderous people were looking for him. We had been up for most of the night, after all. I pretended to take a nap, too, but once they were asleep, I sneaked out of my cabin and slipped into the bright blue water. I swam over to the lagoon to search for the mermaid. The sun was high in a pale blue sky. It glowed down on the still lagoon waters, making them glitter as if covered in gold. "Mermaid, where are you?" I thought. I was just past the reef when I felt a playful tug on my leg.
"Sheena?" I thought. "Had she followed me again?" I spun around to catch her. No one there. "Seaweed, probably," I thought. I kept swimming.
A few seconds later, I felt the tug again.
Harder this time. "Hey, it must be the mermaid," I told myself. I turned once again to search for her. The water rippled.
"Mermaid!" I called. A head popped out of the water. A gigantic, slimy, dark green head with one enormous eye and a mouthful of jagged teeth.
"The sea monster!" I shrieked. "The sea monster!" Would they believe me this time?
The end of Deep Trouble by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps.
I'm Dune. You can contact me all the normal ways at Dune on Twitter, Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com, Facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps, at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com. You can PayPal me. I'd appreciate that. That'd be cool as hell. Let me know which book you want to hear next, because I'm a little off. I don't know. I might just go back to the earlier ones, because it seems like the later I go in the series, which people have been suggesting, the shittier they are, the more R.L. Stine was just kind of phoning them in. So maybe I'll go back and do the ones I missed. But then again, this one is only book 19. So this is from the first 20, which means they're all just shitty anyway. Good to know. There was 62 books, and there's only 20, and he was phoning it in that much. Why the fuck is there a giant killer whale / hammerhead shark on the cover? No one's gonna answer that? Alright, well, fuck it. It's bullshit. I don't like it. Stay spooky, bitches.